I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, episode number 15. Yeah. 1-5, man.
1-5. We're getting there, aren't we?
We're getting there. We're slowly
We've
getting
almost
there.
Got more episodes than you've got followers.
We probably have, yeah. I've got 15 and a half followers. Not 1,000, just 15 and a half. And one of them's just half a person. I don't know why.
The top half.
Just the top half of someone follows me, which is brilliant. It's the only half that you'd want. So welcome back to episode 15. Yeah,
as you've already probably guessed by now, we've got a really, 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 really good friend of mine who I met through a lot of charity work that we both do together. We both support a charity called Once Upon a Smile, which do all sorts. It's run by Dan Gillings and Daniel Miller. And we're both part of that. And we stayed in great contact, and he's just become a really, really close family friend.
He's a good lad as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a quality lad, and he's so heartfelt and genuine.
And you get that from this chat, actually. This was one of the most, like, hearty chats that we've had. It was just dead nice.
Yeah, it was. And it's Kel Spellman.
Yeah.
Who you listen to every Sunday on Radio 1.
Yeah.
A very good slot on there. He does the charts on a Sunday.
He's also an actor.
He's also Michaels. An actor.
Waterloo Road.
Yeah, all sorts of great projects. He does more recently.
Cold Feet.
Cold Feet.
Cucumber as well, which was really good when that was on.
But we won't list his IMDb.
Yeah, we're not here to do that. You can
we're
IMDb.
We're not promoting his work for him. That's not what we're doing.
We're not his PR. We're just his pals.
Yeah.
So we went over to Kel, Manchester.
Yeah.
And we sat down around his sort of breakfast table.
Well, it was
breakfast,
like a breakfast bar.
Yeah.
He's a beautiful, beautiful house.
Yeah.
Which I've found a lot of our guests have been sort of really, really nice and inviting into their homes. And
yeah, because it's a strange thing, isn't it? Whenever we message them, like, yeah, we'll come yours, you almost think, like, oh, we're intruding, but it's nice, isn't it? Like, you do get a nice bit of real.
We've seen some beautiful houses. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I don't think I'd invite people into my house.
No,
to do
your
some...
house is nice, man.
I don't know.
Your house is lovely, man.
I don't know. It's very small.
But it's a new build, isn't it? New builds are, man. But it's a nice house. Like, it's fucking, it is really nice. You've got a good little gaff there.
It's all right. It's all right.
Anyway, it's not fucking home back. What
I was going to say, we're not trying to sell homes.
If anyone would like to buy Thomas Sergius's house. Kel's subject is... Well, at first he wanted to do the Kardashians, didn't he?
Yeah,
that's what we went to do, right?
He sent me sort of four or five subjects, and he was not worried about it, but he was saying, "Oh, I don't know what I want to do." And I said, "The thing is, of our podcast is we don't. It's just a sort of a starting point." So he sent over a couple, and I said, "We'll touch bases on them all," and I think that's what we've done.
Yeah,
One of them was. Water, paying for bottled water.
Which is the main one that you've clicked on today, which is that's the main subject, I guess, because we touched on that quite a bit.
And then we went on to Kardashians, and then we went on to social media, and then we went on to, just a lot of other brilliant subjects, which I think it just... Kel's a really, really great conversationist. Like, is that a real word?
Conversationist. I guess so. I like it. It should be. If it's not,
well, if it's not, then I'm
you
having
like
copyright.
You like Shakespeare? You're just inventing words left, right, centre.
But it was a great chat. It was good.
Yeah, and you know what? Actually, why don't you listen to it right now? Why don't you sit down,
or if you're doing some chores, I don't know, I like to listen to podcasts washing the pots. That's just me, don't judge.
Get a dishwasher, man. It's 2018.
No, I like what I find washing the pots and listening to a podcast very therapeutic. Almost, it's almost meditative. It's always like almost like meditation.
You're trying to make words up like me.
Listen, yeah, it doesn't work for me. Yeah. I'm not like Shakespeare. So
let's stop. Yeah,
sit back, relax, or if you're on the train or whatever you are right now, have a listen to
Kel Spoman on Overrated Everything.
Here he is.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Let's go. We're on.
Yeah. Another week, another episode. Yeah. Finally, we've been... This guest, Kel, is someone who I've known for years through Once Upon a Smile. I think it's the first time we ever met in it.
Yeah, I think
And I was convinced he was Harry Styles when you had your really long hair.
What's that?
There it is. There it is.
He, when I first met him, he had really long hair.
You mistook him for Harry Styles?
No, I didn't mistake him for Harry Styles, but I just like I couldn't look at him without thinking about Harry Styles.
I mean, I'll take it.
It's a compliment.
I can see what see what he means. Like, you have got a bit of a Harry Styles.
But you had like your really long hair, didn't you? I think you probably had an headband on or something.
I had it down to. I think I'd got it down to the shoulders when we first met. Yeah. That's the longest. It's never been that long.
Is it still long now? Because you've got a hat on at the minute. That's pretty cool. Yeah. I like the little sweat back look.
That's nice. See, I miss the long hair. That's so whenever I've not got it, I just cover it up and let it grow.
I do that. Like, I always grow my hair out and it gets to a certain, and I go, yeah, fuck it, I'm going to grow it this time. I'm going to grow it. It's going to look cool. I'm going to do something with it, and it just gets to a certain length and I just go, okay, fuck it, shave it. I just don't have the patience for it. Like, you have to wash it all the time. Hey, I mean, you have to wash it all the time anyway, but when it gets long,
and then the in-between stage is the worst bit. It's like when it's not long yet and then it's not short and it's just in your face all the time.
But then if
you get through that, then you feel like you've worked for it.
Yeah, I've had the same haircut since I was about 15 though, just like the short back and sides.
Yeah, but I mean,
you rock it though. Yeah. Handsome.
I won't be able to have like the really long hair.
I don't think you'd suit long hair, no.
When I look back, like when I was sort of 18, 19 and I didn't really care, I was just out on the piss all the time.
Yeah.
I look back at photos of me when I was in like nightclubs and stuff and I'm just like fucking, like no style to it, just horrible, like slapped.
It was your indie phase.
It was my indie phase, yeah. When I couldn't let go of This Is England.
You'd suit long hair, Andy, I think.
I'd quite like long hair. I think my missus would go mad at me. I want to grow my beard out as well. Same with my hair. I always think, right, I'm going to grow my beard now. I'm going to grow it. And it gets to a certain point, it just looks a mess. Because you've got to get past that stage.
That's it.
A nice little bit of stubble looks good, though. Like, I can't grow anything. What about you?
Oh, right, yeah. I'm getting there. It's taken me a while. But I think if I let it grow now...
Yeah.
it's starting to come through. It still looks a little bit like...
Yeah.
You've got proper, like, man stubble, though. But now I shave mine and it's stubble, it doesn't look... It still look like a kid with a bit of stubble.
Yeah, you've got man stubble, but a really boy
You could
face.
Light a match on your
I was a late bloomer, you see, but then once I got in and we started blossoming, I was in then. There was no stopping me.
Look at us just sat here complimenting each other.
It's really nice. But the facial hair and looking young and long hair in your subject, is it? So when I was texting you, well, it was sort of last night, wasn't it? It was a bit of a last minute thing, because obviously you've been filming in Prague, haven't you?
Yeah.
So you've been really busy.
Radio 1 as well.
And
obviously.
Radio 1.
Doing bits on
that.
Yeah, yeah.
How are you finding that with work? So are you allowed to have your weekends off work for filming, or?
Yeah, it's kind of, touch wood, kind of always works out all right together, really. The blessing as well with it is, obviously, with it being a Sunday show,
yeah,
there's not too many things that film on Sundays, you know, you've usually got weekends off.
It's a really low budget independent film, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. You're making 8 days a week.
So in that respect, you know, it's kind of always worked out. But as well, it's just, I think I've always said, you know, like, if you set the intention to say you're going to do things and do them both at the same time, and you're willing to put the work in, you're surprised, like, that you can always find a way to
make it'll always
work.
And you've always said to me that they've been pretty laid back as well, and you can book holidays and things and that.
That's it, and they have been so great with it and so supportive. So in that respect as well, I'm very, very thankful for it.
Yeah,
but it's been good fun.
Yeah. So again, as we was texting last night, saying about subjects, and we know that there was a couple of things that you was thinking of that are overrated.
Tomo sent a list over.
Yeah,
it's good though.
There was
like
a couple
that.
Of things that he texted. Yeah.
I have a lot of things that annoy me.
Yeah. And paying for water was one.
That was one.
Stuck out for me.
Yeah, because it's such an obvious thing, but you think, why on earth are we paying for the right to just drink clean water?
Do you mean like? Water bill for your house, or do you mean
drinking water mainly. I mean, water bill for the house, you're still a bit like, are we not just in a world now where we can all have water? But mainly, the buying drinking water from plastic bottles kills me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit daft, isn't it, that you have got to pay?
Yeah, I mean, buying plastic bottles is just ridiculous. I've never understood that. Like, but why would you buy a bottle? I mean, I have done in the past, because, you know, when you're in a bit of health kick and you think, oh, should I get that Fanta?
Well, so given the choice, like, would you have like a bottle of Fanta or a bottle of water from a shop?
Given the choice, like a bottle of Fanta.
Oh really? See, my go to is water.
Look, oh yeah,
I would drink water. I'd rather
really?
Water than like.
But yeah, then like I guess what Kel's saying is like you could literally just fill up a bottle of water before you go out, or you know get a fill up a water, like go in the toilet or something, fill a bottle of water. I don't know, it's always drinking, but
yeah,
I do get a bottle of water.
The thing, you know, and the other argument I said to my friends before was, you know, the reason that they're there and we buy them is because when you're out and about, when you think I need a quick drink, there's nowhere else to get it. But if there was like water fountains,
exactly,
which are so easy,
you know, on
street corners or whatever, you wouldn't need to pay money.
That's true.
But then they'd get abused, I think, wouldn't they?
Possibly.
People would abuse it.
People would ruin it. What do you mean by abuse it? By
like
what?
Like you'd get the young kids like smashing it up.
Filling up Johnny
condoms with water. That's kind of stuff.
Done this?
Fill Johnny full of water?
Yeah. No, I mean like.
Couldn't afford water bombs where I live. Just go to the Johnny clinic.
Just
get loads of Johnnies. Nail each other with latex.
It is so true though. I was lucky enough to do a bit of travelling around Japan.
Yeah.
And they had vending machines everywhere, on nearly every street corner, there's a couple of vending machines. I remember saying to this guy, going, you know, that could not happen in the UK. I was like, why? I said, well, it'd be there less than a week, and it'd have been smashed to smithereens, raided, pushed over, graffitied. And how perplexed he was by that we do this out of choice. He couldn't believe it. He was, his words to me were, it's not very constructive, is it? Really isn't. Go
but no, you are right though, isn't it? Everything that we get good, you get the young kids who just are out to abuse the things that we
Oh yeah, it's like in
skate parks and shit.
Like you live in Manchester as well, Kel, don't you? So we recently got, I think they're a Japanese company as well, Mobikes.
Oh yeah.
Have you seen the Mobikes?
No.
So they're basically, instead of us getting sort of like the Boris bikes, like what they've got in London, where you just kind of scan them with your card or whatever. I've never used one, but so you get Mobikes and you get like an app. You top up money onto your app. You go to the bike. They can be literally anywhere in the street.
Yeah.
Scan a barcode. It unlocks the bike. and then you can ride to work, then you get off, scan it, and then you leave it. So, yeah, great idea.
But
they've ended up in trees, in the canal, like, genuinely people are just, they're their bikes now. Like, oh, that's my bike now. Mm. People have just nicked them, like, kids have just literally set fire to them, like...
That's the thing, isn't
they're
it?
They're taking them back now, like, they're getting rid of them, I've heard. Mobike have gone, fuck you, Manchester. It's really worked.
We try, and we try, and we try, and you throw it back in our face.
But, I mean, what is that? Because to me, like, the... Like you saying there, like it's not something that say young people just do because they don't do it in Japan.
Yeah,
is it? You know, I was a little shit when I was a kid. I know you was a little shit when you was a kid.
Yeah, I'm not denying it. If there was that thing when I was a kid in Grimsby,
we'd have probably done
that.
I would have done that.
100%.
Is it boredom? Is it what? Like
this? I think it's the $1 million question, isn't it? Yeah. Really, I think it's a little. Again, you want to say it's human nature, but clearly it isn't.
Yeah, I mean, human nature kind of, I guess, to destroy things and stuff
for sure. But actually, you know, I think it has to come from the top and has to be a whole societal change, I guess, possibly. Because in somewhere like Japan where, you know, it is a little bit more reserved.
Yeah.
But everyone is polite. Everyone's a bit more thoughtful for each other.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's, and compassionate. And it's those little things that I think we maybe have less of in our society here.
Yeah, definitely.
So without those things, you know, then I guess you open yourselves up to... Yeah,
it's mad, isn't it? Like, I suppose the kids will look at these mobikes and they won't look at it as, oh, we can use them for the good. They'll just be like, we can get these and we can wheelie them into the walls and and that's how they'll get their fun from it.
But again, yeah, exactly. So I think you've
hit
it there.
It's fun.
How they get their fun from it if there was like other things for them to do for fun, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, there is things though, isn't there? Like, there's a lot of things for kids to do nowadays.
Yeah, there is, and then there is no, because there's still loads of community centres being shut down.
Exactly,
especially in more, you know, less deprived areas, a lot more of the working class areas as well. I don't know if there is.
We used to have a youth club when I was a kid, and it was mint. And, like, I mean, you know, like I say, as soon as we kind of outgrew that youth club, when we were, like, say, you know, 14, 15, like, we
when
were in the
to
park.
Be out fingering birds and stuff.
Do you remember what I said before? Every now and again I have to cut some. That's the shit.
Just slide on in there.
Yeah, it's true though, isn't it?
But no way, when we were kids, like, we, you know, when we got to that age of 14, 15, when we'd outgrown the youth clubs, like, you're bored shitless, there's nothing to do. Like, you know, we used to sit in the parks, get drunk and, you know, snog girls and that.
Is that it?
There is. Do you know what? As well, thinking about it though, is like that care for something comes from if you live in a place that you care for.
Yeah, exactly.
You look at the you know where people go, even where I go, you look around, and go, what have I got to care about? And if you put, why am I going to care for that when quite clearly society and the powers that be don't care for me?
Yeah, man. Yeah, exactly that. Because like where I grew up in Wivenshaw, like you've got the older generation who've kind of been there for years, and it used to be a really nice place, and it's nice and green and stuff, but it used to be like really nice, and they always go, oh, you know, it used to be dead nice around here, didn't have kids on the streets, and I get that, because like them same, that kind of same generation are like chucking litter on the floor and shit like that, and like it's the younger, because I hate litter, mate, it's the younger generation that sees that and goes, well, yeah, all right, then the place is a mess anyway, I will smash this bus stop.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't really make a difference, and it'll just get fixed, and it'll be fine. I think it does come from the top down, where maybe in places like Japan, I guess, like, there is a bit more, not just respect for each other, but again, maybe a respect for the place.
Definitely. And I think they're more, you're just more polite and more respectful in all round. And that, I think that precedent, though, has been set across the board, so you stick out like a sore thumb.
If you're not like
that, if you are being the idiot, which I actually don't think there are any idiots in Japan.
It's like
than you when you was there.
I arrived and they were like, "What is this? Little Brit abroad?"
One thing that highlights that, and I never knew this. Do you know like the masks that you'd normally see
Japanese people wearing, don't you?
Do you know what they are? What they're for?
No.
So you look at them and you think instantly, as a Westerner, you go, oh, that's so that they don't get ill.
Yeah.
No, they're ill. They're stopping you from getting ill.
They don't want to pass on.
Really?
They don't want to pass on their germs. So they're cultured, like, they put their masks on so that... Because in Japan, like, everything's pretty much like they really pride hard work and stuff, don't they? So if I was to come into work ill and make you ill, then we've kind of, you know, dinted our... workspace, we've affected our company. So what they do is they go into work, they wear the mask, and it's like, look, I'm ill, so I've got this mask on, like, I'm not going to pass you germs, don't really come near me.
You see, in England, like, if anyone wakes...
It'd be the opposite,
if someone wakes up with the tiniest little bit ill, they're like, oh, I can't come into work.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, they'd probably have sick days and stuff, but what I'm saying is, like, they try not to pass on the germs where here.
Wow, that's interesting.
Do you know what I mean? They would probably be a bit like, oh, I'm not well, cough on me then, I want a week off.
Yeah. Come to the underground, sneeze on your hand, hold the balls. So there was another sick thing in Japan, which proper stuck with me, right, and this is how... You know, the Japanese just do everything right. You know, when you're bored in a plane,
yeah.
Right. So over here, it's like, we'll do rows 1 to 10 first. Priority, obviously, first,
if you've not done that.
No, I've not.
10 to 15 or 10 to 20. Okay. In Japan, we were waiting to get an internal flight. Came out with a little board and it was like, window seats first.
That makes sense.
Then the middle seats.
That makes
then
sense.
Then the aisle seats. Do you know how quick that boarding was?
And
I was like, that's so simple, but so effective.
That is like, that has literally blown my little mind off.
Isn't it?
EasyJet, if you're listening, crack on.
Yeah. Oh, no, because it'll be, do you want a window seat? That's going to cost you 50 quid. Yeah. You're playing first.
You know what? It's mad how they can justify that. So I've just booked my honeymoon, and for me to sit with Charlotte, we've got to pay extra. If we want to sit together.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It's like, we've paid enough for the flights. It's mad, isn't it?
Is that EasyJet?
No.
Don't tell me it's Ryanair.
I don't know what airline it is. Okay.
You're going further afield, aren't you?
Yeah, we're flying to Miami, so I'm not sure what airline it is.
That is outrageous.
I think they all do it now. It's crazy. Yeah. It's just madness. Again, it's...
You're paying for some of this.
It makes you then go, fuck you, stupid plane, then I'm not bothered. And it makes you not like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like we're
saying there, like about you know, the older generations
they're
not really caring.
They're not expecting you, so why should we respect them, that sort of thing?
Because I've done that. Like we're talking before about like working in Prague and places like that. I was working in Budapest, good sort of 4 or 5 years ago now, and I used to fly out on like different flights because they had to connect. But like used to get is it like KLM, which is like the Royal Dutch Airways?
Yeah.
Mate, have you flew on any of them to like that way, like Prague?
You
get on, and you're still treated like a person. You're still treated like nice. Do you know what I mean? Like you get up in the air, and they come over and like, would you like a hot towel? Would you like a drink? All complimentary. Really?
In economy, man.
Yeah, like they just still
hot towel in economy.
Well, yeah, they just exactly. Yeah. But I remember that being like standard. I remember going away as a kid, and like you always got like. Food and that or whatever for free. It was just that was flying.
Yeah.
That's the difference between
well, I suppose it's taking a flying thing now, isn't it? Like what Kel was saying about with the water, it's a money thing. But am I right in thinking that in the news, like recently there was a whole thing about women not having to pay for the sanitary towels for the tampons and things.
Yeah, man. So that's
a necessity. That's what a human needs. A woman needs that for
yeah.
So
yeah.
we but need it's... water to survive. So do you not think the water should
there's so many of these things, though, that should really be a human right. Do you know what I mean?
Well, the thing is, so has anyone watched any of the... this is good that we're going to this one. It's a Netflix series. I think it's called Explained, and it's made by... It's either BuzzFeed or someone like that, and they make this series called... I'm sorry if it's not BuzzFeed. They make a series called Explained. And they've got loads of different episodes. One of them's like tattoos, where tattoos come from, and tribal and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of them's the water crisis.
Okay.
So the thing is that kind of highlights is water is actually too cheap. Water is far, far, far too cheap. And we use too much of it because of that. It's a great documentary because I've always thought water crisis, and I know you've got your third world countries like Africa and places like that where they don't have access to water as easily, mm-hmm. and you go right, well they've got a water crisis because they just can't get to the water.
Yeah.
The water's there. There is water in Africa. It's just they haven't got filtration systems. They haven't got sewage systems, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to walk 15 miles, whatever the adverts and that say and stuff, but. Yeah, no, the water crisis is basically, there is an amount of water on this earth that's always been here and will always be here. That water is like, it just gets reused and reused and reused.
Yeah.
It's been here since whenever it came to earth, and it's the same amount of water. You drink the same water that a dinosaur once peed out.
Okay.
Right? That's how water works.
Cheers for that.
However, so because that's what I've always thought. I've always gone, all right, but there's the same amount of water here. There'll always be the same amount of water here. There is, but there's increasingly more of us.
Yeah.
So that water's been there for fucking dawn of time, yeah. But there's billions and billions and billions of people using it every day, and not just drinking it, bathing in it, watering the plants. Like this documentary explained how, like in America, for instance, places like America and that, they purposely grow cattle feed rather than grow it in, say, I don't know, New England, where it rains quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
They grow it in Texas in the deserts because they can just get the water there. So rather than using the rainfall water and doing it naturally,
they'll
because it's so cheap,
yeah,
they can outsource it, do it in the desert. Have you been to Vegas?
Nah.
Fucking water everywhere, man. Like them fountains and all that. Like you're watching it and it's beautiful, it's amazing, but you're like, that's a lot of water in a place where there shouldn't be a single drop of water, really. So in that sense, I guess what the documentary said, it's like fucking learning with Andy now, isn't it?
I was gonna say,
what the documentary said.
Shut up, to be honest.
What the documentary said basically is the only way to make water to get rid of this crisis is to make water more expensive for people, so they use less. So
okay.
Your water bill goes up by whatever a month, mm-hmm. then you'll go, I'll have a shower then instead of a bath.
Yes.
Or I'll, do this instead of that. I'll just run the sink and put the pot in rather than whatever. However, then to make it higher in price, you then have to take it away from being a human right, which will piss a load of people off because it should be a human right.
It's so difficult, isn't it? Like, I mean, because as well, there's a bit of you going, well, what's the Earth, 70% water? And you're like, well, we don't have enough drinking water. But exactly. I'm also like, okay, of course, but you're not telling me in this day and age there is not the technology out there to be able to filtrate it and turn it into drinking water.
Yeah, because a lot of it's salt water in it. So, I think there is. But again, I think that's like just mega expensive, really which expensive. Then would make your water bills higher.
But that what you've touched on is just is something that you can put into, I think, a lot of our problems is our mass, is the human nature of consumerism.
Oh, yeah,
we
man.
We just consume, and consume, take far too much for what we need. And there is probably a world in which we can live. Well, there is a world, I believe it, that we can live in harmony and self-sufficiently with the animals and with our natural resources that were given to us. But unfortunately, we're so far away from
it. I think so, yeah. I listened to another podcast. I touched on it on here. The Blind Boy podcast. You've listened to them. Did you listen to the recent one?
No, I don't.
So we're recording this, like, it's the 7th of December, so it was the episode that's just gone out.
No, okay, I'm not.
He talks about consumerism and the West, he got this statistic up, as he normally does. For us to live our lives as we do, even if you can't make ends meet that well each month, etc., etc., you effectively own between 60 to 70 slaves. You, me, between us, what's that? 140? I can't count.
220.
Yeah, something like that. You effectively own 60 to 70 slaves per person. So, like, your iPhone, there's kids who were forced into slavery who go down mines to dig the minerals to get to make your iPhone or smartphone, not just iPhones, any smartphone. The clothes you wear, the water you drink, absolutely everything. There is an end point where it's a bit unethical. It's crazy. So it's listen to Blind Boy podcast because he goes into it a lot better.
Mind,
he goes into that a lot
maybe
better.
Maybe not want to buy anything ever.
No, but that's it. You can't.
This is it. You know, we can't because actually the way everything is made, all the corporate structures and all the businesses are unethical, are all about profit, and are so far away from trying to, you know, going, like I said before, living at one with the environment, being sustainable. There could be a world in which if there was a big shift in mindset, you know, where we go, actually, things do need to change, but that precedent has to be set from those businesses at governmental level and through the corporations. Otherwise, we're just victims to it, really.
But it all just stems, and it makes you want to go and fucking smash up a bus stop.
But it all just stems back to money. I think that's what everything is nowadays. No,
it's money and it's ignorance. Ignorance is the biggest.
Yeah, and maybe we've come too far now. Like with the water.
We're in too deep.
If we... Yeah, exactly. Ooh, I like that. Hello. You know, like if I turn around... If
Theresa May or whoever's in power when this podcast goes out, it's probably not going to be her. whoever, if she or he came on the news tomorrow and went, right, okay, water, we're using too much of it, it's not a human right anymore. There would be fucking uproar.
That sounds like some of Donald Trump would say.
Wait, there's...
Think oh, yeah.
Think that what he's thinking.
Oh, well, no,
like,
he's the opposite, isn't he? Because he's like, there's no water crisis. There's no... What? It's snowing in July. That's nothing. That's not climate change.
Water comes naturally to Vegas. No, you're in the middle of the desert, mate. But no, if you think, though, there's an uproar when there's a hose pipe ban.
Yes, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
What's a hose pipe ban? What's that?
So,
you know a hose pipe ban? We live in Manchester and we know what a fucking hose pipe ban is.
No, I don't know.
They ban the use of hose pipe, basically. But when water's running low, if there's drought or whatever, they'll say, yeah, you can't use your hose pipe. And then actually, neighbours do grass up on neighbours.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, using a hose pipe, yeah.
To be honest, my hose pipe in the backyard's one of them that's all tangled up and knotted.
Never been used.
Covered in spider webs.
It just means don't overuse water. So, it might be a bit different in Grimsby because you guys might, I don't know how, so like Manchester, like our water's like from fucking the rain, obviously, and it's like big reservoir. But it just, I guess it might depend on how your place gets you. It might not be a reservoir in Grimsby.
Nothing's come through, but I know that Charlotte wastes a lot of water. Like, I don't know if Emily does it or if
shower for about an hour.
No. What they'll do is they'll go, oh, will you just pop the shower on for me? I go, yeah, all right, yeah. I put it on, and 10 minutes later, she's still sat on the bed in a dressing gown.
I don't get that.
I put my shower on, and I'm in it within 30 seconds, and I'm out and cleaned within 5 minutes, and then that's it. Whereas she leaves it running for ages.
I can't stand that. Emily does it, not necessarily with a shower, but like she's making like a juice or something. She'll run the tap for ages and like do something else. And I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah. She's like, oh, I'm just waiting for it to get cold. And I'm like, it's December. The pipes are under the fucking ground.
It does get cold, doesn't it?
Yeah, so the pipes are under the ground.
So during the summer, we had our shower setting on like 3 because it was really hot. And now we've got to have it on 10.
Yeah, because the pipes are under the ground, aren't they?
I never knew that. Blew my mind.
Yeah.
I was ringing plumbers going, fuck, the shower's hot.
The other annoying one is young people brushing their teeth. You toothbrush and just leave the water running while you're brushing your teeth.
I do that.
See, I thought that was what you do. I thought that, and then it was when I got with Emily, she was like, what are you doing? And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, turn the tap off while you're brushing your teeth. And I was like, no, that's, like, you keep, yeah, I did, I, yeah.
Just those little thoughts, though.
It's crazy, isn't it? Yeah,
it's the little things that you realise when you grow up and pay your own bills. It's like light bulbs and shower gel that was always there when you was a kid, when you, everything you ever need. And then when you get your own house, you think, like that shit, like that costs money.
Toilet paper.
I think you think it's one of those, you cross the line into real adulthood when that's become part of your routine.
Yeah.
When you no longer forget your toilet rolls.
You've got to buy bin bags.
Do you know what I mean? When that's become like totally embedded in your way of living, it's like, oh, I'm a real adult.
Like doing a big shop.
When you like spend like stupid amounts on things that you should, so like light bulbs. Like, I've got them colour changing things. And my missus was like, you're paying £40 for a light bulb. I'm like, yeah. But it does this and it does that. It's like, it's a fucking light bulb hanger. It's a light bulb.
It was good. I remember when we first went round to your house, he was like, oh, check this out. I can turn my room red and then green. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty cool. And I must have been round 100 times since and I've not seen you do it.
I've never changed
it. It's just when someone new comes around, it's just showing off, really.
Yeah,
it does look good, though.
Sometimes I'll set it to like, I mean, I'm advertising, but I know, like, I'll set it to like a bluish hue. And then, like, if we go out the night, because I think, oh, it looks like the telly's on.
Nice.
But the colour thing, I think Phoebe likes to shout like, Alexa, turn your light pink.
Yeah.
We've just done that to anyone listening.
Anyone who wastes £40 on light bulbs.
Did you ever see that South Park episode where they did that?
What?
It was genius, where they got people's Alexas going off in the homes.
No,
it was class. So they've done a whole episode centred around kind of, you know, the Amazon Alexa.
Oh, brilliant.
Purposely putting points in the episode. This is the genius of those guys.
Yeah.
Where they'd be doing stuff and it was firing off people's
Alexas. That's amazing.
Watching South Park.
I've had a couple of people tweet us saying that this has done it in the beginning. Yeah. I think on Kieran's episode 1.
How old was Donald Trump as well?
It was
Donald Trump's, wasn't it?
Yeah. So... Kieran said, like, Alexa, how old is Donald Trump? Just in the conversation. And then we had a few tweets saying, me Alexa's gone mental now.
That is genius.
Yeah, it's great though, isn't it?
Do you know what? That actually was nearly on my list for being over it, because they petrify me, Alexas.
Why?
Now, this is a little bit of the conspiracy system.
Go on. No, it's fine. But I'm a bit of a conspiracist, so it's fine.
The
I know we're kind of all always being watched and listened to anyway. If you've got a mobile phone, yeah. You've got it in your
hand. What, you think that the government are listening?
No, it's 100%. No. Advertisers are listening to your phone. That's a fact.
Have you ever not been talking about stuff and then the next day you scroll through and it's just an advert pops up and you've not done anything?
I've not noticed.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Oh, man. 100% happens.
It's fucking adverts on your Facebook for like double-ended dildos.
But so I know that anyway, but I just think to have the choice where you're purposely putting in a device that part of its selling point is listening all the time,
but
scares me.
But
and I've got something to have.
Someone said someone said this to me a little while ago, and I was like, I get that. Because I've got one, I love it, I love technology, I'm a little bit of a technophobe in certain things. And this girlfriend of mine, Holly, she was like, yeah, you know, I just don't want it listening to me and like my husband. And I was like, but it's not gonna be, it's listening. But what I think about it, if Alexa's out there and it's listening, and it's constantly listening, and it hears people say, I don't know, planning to blow up a building, fucking mint, great. Yeah. I hope it catches them. I hope it stops that in its tracks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that the government are that arsed about me and my missus arguing about Hollyoaks. I'm watching Hollyoaks again, or fuck it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or arguing about, like, using too much water. I think, yeah, it's listening, but as long as you're not, you know...
True.
But then again, it is still an invasion of privacy.
That's the main thing. I know all it is as well. I've just got George Orwell 1984.
Yeah, of course. Playing
around in my brain going, while we are getting... Literally, well, we're there now to Big Brother is all.
Oh, watching. Yeah. Yeah, so, 100%.
But no, it is that. And it is, you know, they can tune in, listen, go and watch anything you want that I've been through. And that is absolutely, you know...
It's just bullshit.
I'm sure you will think... What a very, very strange child he is.
everyone probably is, man. Like,
but you know, it's just that thing. I was just like, well, I want to do all I can to try and keep as much of my life to me. I'm quite a private person, anyways. That I mean, I tried to stop our kid from getting one. Like, I spent the whole year saying, Kenan, you really, you don't want one for Christmas, mate. You don't want one.
Yeah.
But he just, you know, wanted it, and that's the way it is. And he loves it, but it's just like,
I think it's a novelty thing. Me and she, I got one, and for the first week or something, it was great going, oh, Andy, listen to this. Alexa, how old is, you know, all that shit. And it was fun, but then it got unplugged, and now it's like, I don't really use it.
Do you know? See, I do, like, I've got...
I like listening, so a funny thing is you can get it to fart. I think I showed feet, didn't I? So you can go, Alexa, fart, and then it does a silly fart noise.
Really?
That's probably the most fun.
See, Alexa's not bothered about listening to Tomo.
I also love the idea that we've just had a load of fart noises pop off.
Yeah, all over the couch. Yeah. But that's the most amount of fun I had on one of them.
Yeah, see, I've got one downstairs, the Echo, whatever it is, and then I've got like the Dot upstairs.
You've got too much money, mate.
I haven't a fucking wish, mate. I just like I can control my lights, I can do all that. Like, I like that. My missus hates it. She doesn't even... It's like she's my mistress. She doesn't talk to her. She doesn't, like...
Sounds like the best
thing
ever.
She's there. Like, genuinely, Emily just can't get down with Alexa. She's like, just use the light switch. And I'm like, just use Alexa or whatever. I just like it feels a bit Star Trek-y.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can walk in my living room and you can actually change it from saying Alexa to, like, computer... Do you know what I mean? Like, computer, turn the lights on. Like, it's fucking static.
Okay.
And that's this week's...
Oh, there we go.
every single week, whenever we do a podcast, without doubt, there will be an accent from Andy.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get jobs.
Yeah, I'd give you them if I had them. Please keep going. But you are speaking to someone who... I've got the little bit of tape over my camera on my laptop.
Oh, are you one of them?
Yeah.
Got all of that.
What do you... Again, I mean... I don't... But then again, I think, are people going to be, again, that bothered about seeing? But then, fuck yeah, because, I mean, for people like us, you know, it was only, 10 years ago, maybe less, that there was the phone hacking scandal and stuff, like, where, you know, people were actually getting hacked by newspapers, like, just normal sort of, like, people we know. I know, listening to Craig, and don't want to talk too much about it, but... Craig Parkinson's Two Shot podcast, like Ralph Little mentioned, like he was a part of that.
Oh really?
Yeah, his like phoned in. But
what? And you genuinely believe that's what I'm saying, but it could happen. Laptop, Kel, you've got sellotape over
the camera. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Again, but they're not, it's because the whole thing on what yeah. you've got typed, like, I haven't got anything typed, but it's like, why should someone have a right, if they really wanted to,
and
which
they can
just log in and go, let's see what Kel's laptop camera can see.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Bumming into there.
See,
like,
I was watching, see you with your snorkels on and a piece of ham in your
just
what?
It's off the in-betweeners.
Yeah. Oh, right. Or American pies at me with a cherry pie on one's
mate. Yeah.
Mate, I want to hack into your thing now.
Yeah.
Because that does happen. I was watching something the other day where it was kids with iPad, I think it's called an inner tab. Which my little girl's asked for one in a tab, basically a kid's iPad. You could do sort of enough stuff, but not like it's not as you think, not as unsafe as an iPad. They can't just download whatever they want and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
It's aimed at kids, but yeah, no, it was on what's it called, Watchdog or whatever the other day. That people, there's a fault in some of them, and people can genuinely hack in and watch your kids.
Wow, that's scary, isn't it?
Petrifying,
which is
mate.
Horrible.
The way that technology does advance, and I know again we're touching on what Kieran was on about, but it
no,
is
fine.
It's something that everyone has. Everyone has a lot of technology in their life, don't they, in terms of phones and laptops. And I was watching, I put something on Twitter the other day about robots. Did you see what I tweeted? That robots are
yeah.
becoming more and more human-like. I watched a video where there was a robot walking upstairs and it was doing flips and it was
shit.
Jumping up stuff. And I was like...
You seen the one where it opens the door?
No.
You seen there's a robot that goes... up, it's in a
yeah,
room,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And it
yeah.
goes up to the handle.
Oh, is it the dog thing?
Yeah,
the dog thing?
Yeah,
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 yeah, yeah. And there was another one on... the one... What's that one that Piers Morgan does that? Good Morning Britain.
Mm.
There was a robot on there and it had full-blown conversations.
Yeah, yeah. There's one
so
in...
it can talk. It can talk.
In the one in, like... I want to say like Saudi Arabia or somewhere along that kind of around that area, that's been granted citizenship.
Fucking
in Jesus. Effect makes it sort of not sentient, I guess, because it's not, but yeah, but makes it kind of, you know, a human or something,
oh.
which is strange, isn't it?
It's scary.
Well, it's strange. And you're thinking when you're thinking of, you know, all the robot films we've seen, iRobot,
yeah.
and all them bits, and you're going, that's come from somewhere. You know, when you look at old
yeah.
Blade Runner, you know, when you had him predicting FaceTime, you'd watch that going, that is now a thing, John. I mean, these ideas all stem from somewhere.
Yeah, I mean...
And the ideas can then become reality. Like, if someone's seen this brilliant idea, then they can then work towards making that a reality.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
is there not that thing, though, as well, this might be absolutely, totally fake news, and I've read this, and
it's fine,
it,
mate.
Do you know what I mean? So I'm
everything is
up,
nowadays.
You know I mean? True. But, like, NASA are somewhere between, like, 30 to 50 years ahead of us in technology.
Yeah, Apple,
so what we get is, like, drip-fed from them. So what we're probably getting
okay.
now is that they are 20 years ago, basically. So...
That's
yeah,
but I read that.
You're thinking, well, what are they doing now?
I read that with Apple. That Apple have got like the next sort of 7 or 8 generations of phones ready.
Of course.
But they're only, like you said, drip feeding us
for
more money.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, where we've come in the last, what, 10, 15 years?
Scary.
Is mad as it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, like, what, you know, if they're ahead of that, do you know what I mean? If we could have a conversation with our parents at our age and say, yeah, you're going to have. Basically, you know, like computer that you can't afford because it's like mega money because it's the 80s. You're gonna have one of them in your pocket, and it's gonna be better than that.
Yeah,
hundreds of times better than that, and it's gonna be in your fucking pocket, and it's gonna listen to you.
If you think that, can you remember when you used to watch the old spy movies like James Bond, and he'd have this thing on his wrist that he could talk to, and then someone would talk back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an Apple Watch that most
yeah.
people have.
That thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Talking
yeah.
to he's talking to his wrist, and someone's talking back. Like,
what pisses me off with that? Right, and it's the only reason I've not bought an Apple Watch. And it, Apple, if you're listening, I know you're doing it. Tom almost just told me, like you're saying, they have stuff like the next. They have like the next 10 iWatches or whatever they're called, Apple Watches.
iWatches.
Where's the one with a camera on so I can?
Yeah,
profit?
FaceTime.
I mean,
yeah.
It wouldn't work for you, Cal, because you'd tape it up. I want that, man, because when James Bond did it, it wasn't like, do you know what I mean? He was having a conversation.
And
with
of course, it's there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, there's
no.
It's a little
like,
camera in a finger.
Yeah.
Oh, that is all. It's like you think though. Like, I'm looking at this iPhone now. Going,
how come
they
you
don't
take your phone one up?
This is a new phone.
Because I can just see into your ear.
No, I actually on my own one.
That's
Kel's phone. I literally got this 2 days ago, funnily enough. But that'll get a little bit of tackle.
No,
oh,
really?
Is it? Do you do it on your phone?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Which you know, then you go to take a selfie. It's like. Getting to do it on your phone.
Yeah, imagine meeting like David Beckham. I just want that pal. Let me just take the tape off. That's mad. Right? Yeah, yeah.
But no, what was going to say there? Yeah, but they all that stuff does exist. They just choose not to give it to us. Yeah, I mean, a battery life. Come on, come on. Yeah. Telling me in this day and age, they've got a battery that can last at least a day properly.
100%. But I know there was more technology on, like, you know, you used to get the Nokias that used to last for like a week.
Yeah.
There's obviously more goes into that. Because, you know, if you don't close your Twitter and your Instagram and your Facebook, that refreshes.
Yeah, so all the time.
So what you can do to help your battery life is you close all your apps and that does help.
The one maybe I will come round to, Andy, is, you know, like in Star Wars, when you have your little hologram pop up.
Oh, yeah, that's
what
cool.
I want to come out, do you know what I mean?
Out you watch, yeah.
There's Andy and Tomo there, like...
We could have done the podcast like that.
How good would that have been? Then I'm a little blue hologram. But
I love shit like... Well, didn't they have, like, two packets?
Well, Amy Winehouse is a nat. Well, obviously, Amy herself hasn't, but I think a dad... has announced a full-blown tour. A hologram Amy Winehouse tour.
That's class. I mean,
it's fucking brilliant.
Unbelievable.
It's amazing again, but then that's quite scary.
Like, it must be weird for the family.
No. All about the question I'm going is it, you asked Amy if she wants to do it?
This is what I mean,
There's that whole question as well. Like,
That's
a grey area, really.
It's again, it's that idea of, like you were saying earlier on, of humans kind of being fascinated with, like, always, like, you know, robots and stuff like that. Another thing that we've always kind of been fascinated is with either prolonging life or raising the dead, and that's
true, that
in a sense, that is it, really.
Yeah, I mean, no, it really is.
It's not, because it's not going to be Tupac or Amy, it's not going to, you know, get a fly or something. It's not gonna.
It's the
government,
know.
Mate. They've got little robot flies.
Literally, just storm this house now. You're on to us.
Have you seen them? I think the writer of Black Mirror is like XMI5 or some shit like that. Some of them episodes.
What?
Charlie Brooker. So you watch some episodes and you just think, how can a one man think of things that clever and that brilliant?
Because he's fucking genius, isn't he? He's an actual
love the man, mate.
I'd love to have him on here. But
that'll definitely happen one day. No, I was going to say, I can only ever watch one of them like one episode at a time. About a good day to recover from an episode.
Yeah, they're very deep, aren't they?
Very deep, and I think as well, the more we're advancing and the more we're progressing, the closer we are becoming to that, which makes it homey. You know, if you watched that 5 years ago, you go, oh, we're well far away from that. I'll binge watch three back to back. Now we're there, it's like...
Oh shit!
But then again, and I know Charlie Brooker put this on Twitter when it actually happened. But you say that, and you say that, oh, that's gonna happen. Like, you know, wasn't the first episode about Prime Minister fucking a pig?
Yeah. It wasn't. Yeah.
And that allegedly happened.
It's just like the whole Simpsons thing. They predict everything.
Yeah, I've seen that.
There's a lot of Simpsons predictions. Boris Johnson.
Don't tell me there's an episode where he was Prime Minister.
it's mad how people do write them. They'll sit there in a dark room, no doubt, writing these things, and then lo and behold, 15, 20 years later, it actually happens. It's fucking mental, isn't it?
It's scary, man.
It is scary.
It is weird. I guess, I don't know, like, how are the Simpsons doing that, do you reckon? Because they're not seen into the future.
No, of course.
Like, or are they? I don't know. I don't...
Is Matt Groening a time traveller?
It could be. Yeah. You never know. I mean, he did Futurama. Like, that could all be real. That could be what's going on.
Well, again, that goes back to the robots and stuff. Exactly.
But it's crazy. It is mad. It must be there, something like maybe a collective conscience or something like that. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, or even just thinking about a world in which you personally think is fucking mental.
Yeah.
Putting that onto paper and then maybe creators, again like what I was saying, creators are watching that and maybe going, that could be a thing, we could make that happen.
Yeah, but the thing is, the Simpsons, though, like, some of it's scarily accurate. Yeah. Like, not even like episode, like, won't be like a picture where it's like Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And it's like the stood around some circle thing. It might be
the Saudi Arabian.
And there's like a Saudi Arabian guy with him, and there's someone else.
Yeah.
And even in the background,
it was Vladimir,
like,
Putin.
A random man, a random woman. And the picture,
it was Putin, Donald Trump, and some Saudi Arabian high up guy. But it was literally the exact same photo.
Have people actually checked that's actually come from The Simpsons?
Or do you reckon Boris?
Someone could have drawn that.
Donald Trump's looked at a photo and gone, right, let's recreate this.
Yeah, just the shits and giggles.
Yeah.
But then, no, but like what I'm saying is, like, have, you know, because I see them on Facebook all the time. Some of them I go, I remember that episode. I remember that episode of, you know, this happening or whatever. But I can never remember a Simpsons episode of Donald Trump stood around the thing. Has someone seen that picture, then drawn
and then
just put it out there? And now we live in this world, like you said before, of fake news, where we instantly see it on our timeline and go, fucking hell, the Simpsons can predict. Has anyone actually gone back and checked whether they did that or whether someone's just really good at drawing the Simpsons really quick?
It's mad, isn't it? Go on, sorry, man.
I was just going to say, probably the same as you, we'll come back round to your subject, which is water.
Yeah. What was the other ones that you were speaking about?
I mean, I think this is a good one, because like we said at the beginning, you had a few, didn't you? Like, you wanted to touch on a couple, but I think the episode's gone, pardon the pun, swimmingly.
We really threw ourselves in the deep end.
I hope this one makes a big splash.
Go by Swimming With Men.
Which I do need to do, actually.
Yeah, I've still seen it.
No, I've not seen it.
Well, I was looking on there to see if you had any of mine, and I didn't see any, so I didn't want to bring it up.
No, I have got the full This Is England box set.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I was going to say, there's no question both of you. Do you ever do that, though? Like, go around to someone's house who, like, you've just met, or even, like, someone you don't really know or whatever, and you sat down just having a beer or whatever, having a coffee and that, and they've got something you're in on the DVD,
I find it a bit weird. I do it. Like, I did it when I walked in. I looked at his DVD shelf and I thought, oh, I wonder if he's got anything that I've got.
Oh, you purposely went for it.
I saw the shelf and I thought, yeah, I'm going to have a look.
I love it though, any of my friends anyway, you know, I love film and TV, but anything that my friends have done, I always try and go out and I'll go and get it. I love to have it. Because I'm just so proud as well, because I love film and TV, and it's like, yeah, my mate's in this film.
Or mates are
in this series.
Yeah, I like that.
So I'll always go out, and then it's nice to put the money back into it as well.
Exactly. It's nice, isn't it, when you've got, like, because we're so lucky to be in the industry, and especially with the charity that we do, so there's a lot of different actors and singers, and it's nice when you see something happen for them in their life, that just, like, with Lloyd Griffith, like, when he got the Soccer AM job, fucking buzzing for him. Like,
it was I was over the moon.
It was amazing, because I remember we was in London, me and Lloyd, and we was in a taxi, and we was going over the London Bridge, and he was saying, oh, I've got a meeting next week for this, for Soccer AM, don't say out. And he was saying, oh, I don't know if it's ever going to work. And then he rang me a couple of weeks later saying, I've got it. And I was
wow, so class, mate.
It's brilliant.
But we're also lucky, you know, that speaking for myself, you know, from the people that I'm surrounded by, do all celebrate and empower each other. And their good news is your good news. That's not a normal thing, though. You know, people...
It's not, is it? People do tend to kind of not enjoy support, other people celebrating and not support, which I think is a bit mad, me.
I think part of it is, you know, our northerners. I think, you know, being northerners.
Very humble.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, though, because I do think, like, British people in general... we don't really like to necessarily... I do, and I know you guys are the same, but we don't really like to celebrate each other's successes, or, like, I don't like to boast because I feel like maybe I'm showing off.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
if I get a part, then I'm buzzing. Internally, I'm like, fucking, this is amazing, I really want this. Oh, I mean, and I do that with my wife and with my family and that, but, like, you know, if you turn around to me and went, oh, did you get that part? I'd be like, yeah, man, yeah, start on Tuesday. I'm like, yeah, it's going to be all right, I think. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of go inwards.
I love sharing other people's success, especially the people who I know and care about. Like,
yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I do, but I think the general kind of population are a bit, I don't know, or I think we think that they're like that, maybe.
Yeah, and I've spoken about this so much. It's a really difficult thing to pin down why we do it. I think a bit of it as well is where, again, it comes from where we're kind of caring, compassionate and loving people. I go, realise maybe the mate who's asked me, it has been a bit quiet for him, so I don't want him to go, well, yeah, actually, I did get it, mate. Do you know what I mean? So you just instinct, and that just comes from a place of actually just being thoughtful and caring.
Yeah,
you are right, it is within our nature. But then comes back to that whole thing of what we're saying with we don't care for each other outside of our circle.
Yeah.
We don't have any time for it, really.
I suppose in other industries, it's sort of like you could really be at competition with someone. If someone's going for a manager role in an office, and if someone else is going for it, they'll be really gunning for it. And whereas in our job, if I went for an audition and Kel went for the same part,
you'd wish each other the best.
Obviously, I'd be buzzing if even, I mean, if I didn't get the job, I'd be like, ah, oh,
bit devoed. But then if they turn around and said, Kel's got it, that would make me feel so
much better. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, buzzing.
So true. I always think if I know a couple of my mates going for it, I'm like, well, buzzing, we've got three or four chances.
Yeah,
getting,
yeah, yeah.
Is how
yeah.
I'm seeing it. I'm like, it's not one chance of us getting it, or there's four chances of us getting it. So great.
Whereas
so
in an office, it might be, oh, fucking hell, Danny got that job and I didn't. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
I think, I guess with that, I guess you're probably just around each other a bit too much of them, maybe, and you just do each other's head in a bit. Mm. Like I've not seen you for a good couple of months, Kel. Like, we've not seen each other for a couple of weeks. Like, do you know what I mean? So when we do see each other doing well, we do celebrate that. But,
yeah. A friend gave me an amazing, I think I'd be right in saying, I think metaphor is the right English, or kind of imagery, basically. You say, a candle. He says, just because yours candle's burning, doesn't mean you can't go around and light everybody else's candle. It doesn't just have to be your candle burning. No, and I thought that's such a great...
Yeah, that is really nice.
That is the one, you know. Definitely, that's kind of how I'd like to see the way I'm living my life. But some people, their candle's burning, they'll go, yeah, good luck lighting yours.
They'll shield it. Yeah. But it's so nice that people in our industry are so supportive. And I know Craig Parkinson, who does the two shot, like, he's so supportive.
He sends us a little message every week.
And I've known him for years, so he's become a good friend. But, I mean, it's just so nice that other people who are doing the same thing, I don't suppose you're in competition with each other, but... You know, there is that sort of aspect that we are doing the same thing, but it's nice that he will give you the praise for what you're doing. Do you know what I mean?
And I guess just, like, it's nice, isn't it? Like, you want to, because I love what he's doing. And I want to say that episode was mint, because it really, you know, like we were saying earlier on, like, we listen to podcasts and that, like, quite a bit. Like, they are just nice. And, like, or you know, even like you say, like, seeing you, Kellen, summer, like, it's like... Fucking hell, mint, man.
Do you find it hard to watch your mates who you know really well playing different characters?
Not really, you know. Yeah. Actually, no, I think, I'm not trying to blow smoke up anybody's backside here, but I think I'm quite lucky. All my mates are very, very talented. Yeah, very so good, I don't get me wrong, you sit there going, okay, let me see.
Yeah.
8-9 times out of 10 I watch it and go, I totally forgot.
And
I guess as well, it's more of a credit to them, because I know them.
I
still was in with your character that you created there. But then there might be the odd time they go, yeah, I saw a bit of you in there.
Mine's gone now. What was that? Oh, that was what it was. So I was watching something the other day and I thought, you know, when you're watching someone play a character and you often think, fucking hell, that was brilliant. I wish I could do that. But then in a way, I thought that, say if you're watching Johnny Depp in a film and you think, wow, that was amazing. And you think, oh, I couldn't do that. But then Johnny Depp will watch something that you do and he might think the same, because we're all so unique in our own way.
So true.
You know what I mean? Yeah, we all take a part of ourselves, which is why we've been cast in the first place.
Yes.
Because you take something that you've got personally and you can, you know, feed that into your character. You know, it's sort of... Yeah,
it's nice. And it's that whole thing of, as well, then, you know, no doubt, if you're taking Johnny Depp as a case and example, he'll be watching himself going, I can see me there, but then we're watching it and going, what you're talking about, mate. That's performance you've given. Same as when we do something, I don't know about you, but
I hate the absolute hits
for me.
Yeah, do you watch yourself back a lot?
Because
most nights, watch Eden Lake every night.
I watch you guys most nights. Just to send me off. Do you know what I mean? We get to 1 o'clock in the morning, Andy and Tom time.
Did I just hear a door lock?
You're my people now.
No, I do find it real. Sometimes, you want to see the finished piece of something, you can watch that and that, and I want to see how it was as a whole. But I still can't have that help. The minute you see yourself, you critique it straight away. Yeah. I listen back to myself more than I watch myself.
For the radio,
which is quite interesting.
Yeah, that's mad.
I found that's, as much as, you know, as we all do, hate the sound of your own voice, I've learned a lot more for my presenting on the radio through listening back. That's how I've definitely grown as through the show doing that. That's been a massive help.
Yeah.
But, you know, with the acting, it's kind of, it's a bit the opposite, really, because you end up getting in your head too much.
Do you reckon it's because because of that, though, because, like, you can listen to yourself back, and if you go, because you wouldn't go, oh, I can hear myself there, because you should do. But when you watch, do you know what I mean? When you're acting, you're playing a character, so you probably, like you said before, you probably are watching more for them, like, telltale signs of
definitely, because I can hear something in a link, and I'd go, Ah, okay. I said that word too many times.
Yeah, yeah.
I said like three too many times. So I can make a note. Don't say like as much.
He says that about me.
Yeah, you say like a lot.
I didn't like the way I got out of that. You know, my ending point. How would I have done it differently? I'll know that for next time. But if I'm watching myself, you're going, oh, what's my eyes doing there? Oh, what's that little fidgety thing
like
you're
that
doing?
With my
you know
eyes,
what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then that.
I'm like, where the fucking hell's my eyes going?
But and then if I'm thinking about that, then I don't want to be sitting in an audition thinking about, okay, remember you did your fidgety hand thing. What's your mouth doing? Then I'm forgetting totally
who
I am, what I'm reading. So I think it's definitely all my presenting, maybe not so much with the acting.
Because I asked that like about watching yourself back. Because again, kind of going back to what we were saying.
I think
before,
you can learn a lot from it.
Definitely. I always watch everything that I do, just because
because you're proud of it, man. Yeah, I'm like that.
I was watching I'm a Celeb.
I'm a Celeb?
No, I was watching
it. Okay.
And it's John Barrowman.
Oh, yeah.
And he was saying that, he said, like, he was like, I love watching myself. Like, I watch myself back in everything I do, and I'm proud of it. Like,
you give yourself self-confidence.
It took him a lot of hard work to get on TV, to be an actor, to be a, you know, I think he does, like, musical theatre and stuff. It took him a lot to do that. Then I'm gonna sit and watch it. Which is not, again, this is what I'm saying. Like, I think some people have watched that and gone, "Oh, he's a bit big-headed, isn't he?"
Mm-hmm.
But he shouldn't be. He should be able to. I've grafted hard to get this job.
I tell you what,
I'm gonna watch it.
I tell you what it is. It means that you care. I think it means that you haven't finished the job and you've gone, bullshit. That's it. It's finished now. Don't
yes.
It means because you two know that once if you do a film, it can take a year to edit.
Oh,
and even a year later, I'm still looking forward to it, and I want to watch it, and I want to see what I've done, and not just me as well, watch about everybody else. And it just means that you still care, and you become attached to your job, you know.
Yeah, case in point, if you played in a football match and you won 3-0, you want to sit back with your mates and watch you beat that team 3-0, because you did really, really well.
Yeah,
when you were in school, you know, on the rare occasion you did a bit of homework, that you actually sat and go, that feat, you were so proud to go, let me read you this, do you know what I mean? God, this kid's a bit much. I mean, there's a shift that happens that you become, now suddenly you should stop celebrating and being proud of what you do, and don't think we should at all. I think we should definitely kind of build it up.
I think you should always be, but I was always like, not that I'm not humble, because I always will be, but like, I never ever used to like talking about my work, and I never used to, like, if someone said, oh, I love This Is England, it's a great film, I never used to go, I know, yeah, it is a really good film. Whereas now I go, it is a fucking brilliant film. Like,
yeah.
But when I was a kid, I was kind of ashamed to say it, because I didn't want people to
think
that was big-headed.
That's what I mean, you feel a bit like, oh, God, they're going to think I'm big-headed if I say that.
But
yeah, like, now people
fucking
say,
proud of it.
But you're nice and good people as well, that's what that is.
Well,
for
me,
I
guess, and I guess that helps, innit? If you, like you say, like, we're all down to earth, nice lads, like, do you know what I mean? Like, there is people out there who do it to big themselves up and that. Like, there is people out there who do that. But again, are they doing it for that? Who knows? Is that my interpretation of, oh, he's doing that because he's a big head, or
mm-hmm.
do you know what I mean? Am I wrong for thinking that?
Yeah.
It's mad when people ask you to say, oh, what's the best thing you've ever done? You ever get that?
Yeah.
What's your answer to that?
I mean, how long's a piece of string?
Yeah, that's it.
So it's such a difficult. You know, you can say, well, what side of it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is there a certain thing you want to know what was great to do? But because they can be great for so many different reasons. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like being asked to choose your favourite kid.
Yeah.
You know? Who's the favourite?
Yeah. Or when people say, I've had this a couple of times, like, so who's the most famous person you know then? Well, what? Because that's subjective.
Because
I might go, oh, you know, it's this guy. And you go, oh, I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
But I fucking love him.
Yeah,
and
he
made my life meet. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I hate that one, mate.
And I think the thing is with the public as well, is people who aren't in the industry, there's a lot of people in our industry who are respected and in the industry who aren't, you know, you've got your major stars like Taron Egerton and, you know, Richard Madden, who everybody knows. But then there's also people in the industry who are very, very respected and very, very good, but they're not a household name, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it depends how you look at it. Like, I'm big fans of actors who aren't in the limelight, but, you know, I
that's what I mean, because you could love a musician who you've met and think that they're the fucking shit.
Yeah, but because they're not on Radio 1 every day, and not everyone knows who they
exactly,
are.
They'll go, who?
Yeah.
Oh, he was big back in what?
Yeah.
Like, they're not famous. Like, that made me, do you know what I mean? Exactly, like, it's a weird one, isn't it?
It is. I've got that list in my head, but I think it ties into a bit into one of the things that I sent with my list was, like, the Kardashians.
Yeah.
Because then people you're talking about, who have been put in absolute graft since they came out of drama school, even from when the younger, if they didn't go there, have worked consistently, have built up a repertoire of work that is, you know, quite substantial, and it's all top-notch stuff, yet get absolutely no plaudits from the public because you're not famous, because you're not in the limelight.
Yeah,
because you hold up a Kardashian to the ninth degree like they are God's gift to the world, and you're going, what have you done?
It's mad how, again, this goes back onto a reality TV episode that we had, but it's mad how reality, and it's nothing against the reality TV people, you know, they've been given an opportunity, they've grabbed it by the balls and event money, good on them. But what amazes me how things like, what's it, At Home with the Cat, what's it called, the Kardashian Show, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Keeping Up with the Kardashians?
I think that's what it's called, yeah. I've read scripts, and I bet you've read scripts, and I bet you've read scripts that are fucking brilliant, amazing. I sat there and read them, and then I rang the agent and going, what's happening with that? And they've gone, oh, they ain't got the money.
Mm-hmm.
But then you put like Judge Rinder on and Kardashians.
It blows your mind. It is, and that's what I find. I have the utmost respect for people who are doing that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
of course, you're making a career out of it, you're working, you're making money. I got all the time in the world for that. But the nature of what you're doing it, and when it becomes, for me, a detrimental effect to our industry, that's where I have problems.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then also the subculture that breeds then, you're influencing, your adverts, you buy this, get 15% off that, these false body images, these edited photos, all this whole world that has been created, that is, you can pinpoint it that it was that, the catalyst for me was the Kardashians.
Mm.
For you to bring it all back to where we're at now, that is kind of, I'm not saying the sole blame is on them, but
that's a
big starting point for it. That's where I kind of, that's where my annoyance and frustrations come from.
Yeah.
And it affects the society as well.
It does, man. I mean, massively, like, you know, one of their husbands is best mates with the leader of the free world.
Yeah.
Like, he sits like and chats to him and fucking has conversations with him about designing planes and shit like that. Like,
yeah, I know Jamila, she has a lot to do with that, don't she? She's very, very passionate on like, if the Kardashians are getting paid $2 million to post this fat burning bullet that's making her look how she looks, that's not true.
Yeah.
And that's affecting people. And that people, young kids are spending their hard-earned money on these things that these celebrities are endorsing. And it's not true.
And it
makes them feel quite, it can make them feel bad about themselves and how they look. And it's fucking shocking.
Yeah,
I
was just going to say as well, like, when you do really break it down and look into it for me, is what's so sad about it is their main target audience, and they can tell you it, but you are targeting the most vulnerable of people, young, impressionable people, you know, and you're abusing the position that you're in. You are in a position, fair enough, how you got there is your story, and but you are now, whether you like it or not, Kim Kardashian, you have tens of millions of people following. You do have, for me, you're in a position where you have a lot of power, and you should be. Well, you know, good and bad is relative and subjective to the person, but at the same time, if you're putting out there to these 20, 30 million people, probably 10 million of them are at least, you know, between 12 and 14, that this is a perfect body, and that's being, you know, sat and registering their subconscious. What a sad world they have, and hard world they have to navigate through.
Yeah.
And that's what really gets me down. Like, I just feel we should always be trying to be true to ourselves and try and be good and care and love one another. They're mean. And I see what you're doing. I go, you're going against all of that. It's all so selfish. It's all so self-centered. And you're forgetting about kind of your duty for these young people. And go, actually, let me try and help them through this tough world. It's tough enough as it is.
Yeah.
Without all this bullshit.
It is a greed thing, isn't it, I guess? Like, they're getting paid so much money to do these things. And, you know, they probably either kid themselves that they're doing a good thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm making the world more beautiful, or I'm making people more beautiful, and that's what we want, or they just don't care.
Yeah.
Like you were saying then, like, one of the things that's always got me about like, that them and other people like them is about, what, 7-8 years ago, I'd never heard of them, personally. Never heard who the Kardashians were, any of them. And then they've got famous and they're massive now, and like you say, like, Kim Kardashian's husband is,
she's, you know, a modern day Jesus.
He sits with Donald Trump on a regular thing and chats about shit. And I'm like, I still don't know what she does.
She's a first self-made billionaire.
Is she really?
Yeah, I think she was a first female self-made billionaire.
But I mean, how, from doing what? Because, like, if I, you know,
I can look at, say...
This is very fucking clever, mate. This is very, very clever over money.
You know, I can look at Paris Hilton and go, what have you done to be as famous as you are? Like, you're the daughter of someone who owns a
one night
of hotels.
In Paris.
Yeah. or, you know, I look at... you know, the only thing... Like, Kim Kardashian, their family's famous because the dad was friends with O.J. Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they got in the limelight. The dad was best mates with O.J., sat on the trial with him when he was going through the murder trial, and that's how that family got in the limelight. And then they, like you said, you know, they've just ran with that.
Yeah.
And they're the Kardashians, you know. And yeah. they've ran with that, like, shit, like...
They've
you
got
know,
the baton and run,
yeah,
haven't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, it's just... madness. And then they are kind of treated like you say, like gods in a way. Like,
yeah, yeah,
did you
yeah.
watch the there was a drama series based around...
Do you do anything other than watch TV?
I watch a lot of shit, yeah. There was a drama series based around the OJ trials.
Yeah,
and
great. With, was it Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Yes,
yeah,
David
yeah, yeah,
Schwimmer,
yeah,
Cuba
yeah.
Gooding Jr. And there's a scene in it. It was great. Great piece of drama. Like, you know, I knew a little bit about the OJ thing, but not much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting and each episode's really good. But there was one thing that bugged me in that whole series. There was an episode...
David Schwimmer?
No. David Schwimmer's brilliant, man. I love David Schwimmer. There was a bit in it where David Schwimmer goes in and the kids are watching TV. And I can't think what they say now. But they make a reference to the fact that they're the Kardashians. They make a... In this
no.
drama, they make a reference to the fact that they're the Kardashians and you're going to know who these kids are when they grow up.
Mm-hmm.
And it ruined it for me. It made me go, oh, that's a sellout.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't need to do that. Because
mm-hmm.
them kids, nobody would have said that back in... I can't remember what the reference was, but they said something like about the... say it was about the TV and they said something like, oh, don't worry, you'll be on there one day or something like that. And I was like, you didn't need to make
yeah.
that reference.
But then it all just stems back to money, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, exactly. Because, you know, one of them might have been a exec producer on it or whatnot. I don't know. But, yeah, it does. It probably all stems back to money.
Yeah,
it is. And, you know, I don't know them as people. And they might be some of the most
exactly,
lovely,
yeah, yeah.
very polite people. Whether I believe that is another thing from going off what you are saying. But I do not know that. All I know is what they represent and the way they go about things and their work, so to speak, I think has a lot more negative implications on society
yeah.
than positive.
Yeah.
And all the sub stuff that has come off that we've touched upon is, I find, really disrespectful to our field, but then to people who are saving lives every day. Do you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Man, exactly.
And putting their lives on the line. It makes a mockery of that. And yeah, there are just so many things within it where I'm just like, nah, this is not good for the world or for people.
Yeah, yeah. I think on that note, man,
yeah.
we'll put to an end there because
we could
me,
be here all day talking
yeah,
about
man,
shit
I mean,
like
this. I love it when we have a chat where, like yourself, like you had a few subjects and then we've spoke with one and gone off on that and. Yeah, I just love that. Just going off on tangents is nice.
I was thinking of putting the kettle on again. Go, let me make another cup of tea and keep recording.
But thanks very much, Cal.
Yeah,
mate.
Nice one.
Nah,
mate,
genuinely,
yeah.
But and a massive congratulations with this, by
oh,
the
nice
way.
Nice one, mate. Thank you.
I've said to Tomo, but it's been keeping me highly entertained.
Oh, wicked, man.
On my trains to London.
Yeah, you're
listening to this, making notes. I didn't like how I sounded there. But nah, genuinely, it's been a privilege to be here.
Now, thanks for having us, mate.
Nice one.
Thanks very much.
Peace and love.
The end of episode 15.
Yeah.
2019.
Yeah.
Which is, it's going to be a good year for us. And, you
hopefully,
know,
we've
guests that we've had on already, you know, Jessica Ellis kicked us into the new year. And then, you know, we've had Kel Spellman.
Yeah.
We've
got some great guests.
We've got some great guests lined up, some amazing ones. But, yeah, I mean, that was, for me, you know, one of my favourites.
Yeah, for me, it was definitely the warmest chat. I came away from that chat thinking, wow, what a nice chat there. Because Kel's one of them guys, like, we got a little bit deep about stuff, and you can tell he genuinely cares about stuff. Like, when we were talking about, you know, young people today, and not just today, when we were young as well, I guess, sort of treating things like shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can tell he genuinely cares about stuff.
Yeah, but and he understands what it was like to be a kid as well.
Yeah,
You know, like me and you, and like a lot of our guests, you know, we was brought up the same, you know, none of us had, you know, huge houses and whatnot. We just sort of spent a lot of time being real kids
and getting bored.
Yeah, a lot of them it was boredom, wasn't it?
Yeah. And so like we say, you know, Kel did have a few subjects, but we sort of settled on water there, and that was a nice chat about sort of, you know, bottled water and paying for water being overrated, because there's, again, like most of the subjects that we have, there's pros and cons, and, you know, he's not right, he's not wrong, and, you know, it's a nice sort of chatty debate about it. And then, like you say, it moved on to the Kardashians and social media, and again, you know, hearing like Kel's thoughts on that, he's just got a sensitive soul, hasn't he, where he's, you know, he's not, you know, he didn't outright hate, you know, the Kardashians or anything. He just thinks, oh, what
could he better?
Yeah, what effect are they having on the youth of today, and how could it be better, I guess? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just one of them things that, you know, he felt passionate about, which was nice to listen to. And I hope you lot enjoyed it. I certainly come away from most conversations with Kel. I'm just happy, man. He just holds great conversation. He's a good listener.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's just an all round top bloke.
Yeah. And off mic, I don't know if he mentioned it on mic now, but off mic, definitely Kel was telling us that he's often thought about doing a podcast as well, which would be amazing. I'd listen to that. Like,
yeah,
you know.
Of course. We won't obviously give his subject away, because one of you listeners might sneak it away.
Yeah.
Actually, we're having that, but it's a great idea. And again, yeah, it would just be a nice little passion project for him, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Exactly. So that was episode 15. We'll be back same time, same place next week with another great guest for you. We won't say who it is, because we like to tease you like that. We like to just...
Or because we've done that many, we can't remember what.
Yeah, one of the two.
We've had a very, very long day of podcasting.
We have. We were actually just saying this, like, sometimes when we get to the end of the days of podcasting, we're just a bit like, ugh, because we've just been chatting and chatting and chatting, but... You know, it's nice to do it, and we love it, and it's just a lot. It is tiring, but it's fun.
Yeah, we enjoy it.
We're 15 in now. Yeah. We're committed now.
Yeah, we've gone in two-footed, but I just hope that you're enjoying it as much as we're enjoying making it. I know that's a bit of a cliche thing to say, but just keep listening, and we'll keep doing it, and keep bringing you bullshit insights to brilliant people.
Yeah, and please as well, subscribe, because I've heard that's what we need you to do. So subscribe to the podcast and rate and review the podcast if you can. We used to ask that a lot, especially in the early days, but that means a lot. If you review us and you subscribe, that just means that we can, again, you put that in front of people and get to bigger and better, you know, not bigger and better guests, but, you know, just other guests. We want to get to, you know, other people and that, and you guys, honestly, even just leaving a nice review, 5 stars please, on whatever you can review on, is amazing. There's a Patreon there, I'm sure you've heard the jingle. Thomas, sing a song.
I'm not singing nothing.
Sing.
See you next week.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com. It's time you did something for the first time.